Merry Christmas. And what a beautiful morning to spend together this morning. We rejoice that the Lord has brought us here together, and what better way to be here together, gathering with the family of believers, with brothers and sisters in the Lord, and to worship God, to give Him many thanks and praise for His countless gifts that He has towards us. I also welcome all the guests and visitors we have with us today and pray that you can join us again in the future. I do have one housekeeping announcement before we begin, because we had a mishap on the printer this last week. You will notice in your bulletin that the last two pages are identical. All right? So, in order to fix that, that's why you are hopefully given this half sheet, one-sided half sheet piece of paper. You just stack that right on top of the first duplicated page. All right on top that first duplicated page, and we will get through it without a hitch, right? Well, we will, at this time, let us praise God together with our first hymn, number 300. Oh, I got a question. All right, that's a first.
Some of these numbers are not right.
Oh, okay, some of the numbers are not right either. Great. All right. I'll try to announce them. I'll try to announce all the hymns. The first one is 379. Thank you.
Oh,
Would you please stand as you're able? The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. Those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. He dawns on them like the morning light, like the sun shining forth on a cloudless morning. The Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. Those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before your presence this morning, we confess that we have daily sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not always walked according to the light. We have preferred the darkness, for our deeds were evil. We have not honored you with our lips. We have not shined our own light out into the world. We have too many times hidden the light of faith and love under a basket so as not to share it with others. Forgive us, Lord, and through your Son, Jesus Christ, dispel all darkness from us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may walk according to the light of your word. Almighty God, merciful Father, you have sent your Son into the world to be the light of the world. And through him, you brought the light of faith and healing to your people. We thank you for sending Jesus to dispel the darkness from us and to call us to live in the light within the church. We thank you for gathering us together as your church, where you daily and richly forgive us our sins. Give us the confidence and strength in knowing that you, your people, cherished, loved, and forgiven through Jesus our Lord. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's word. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. Its lamp is the Lamb. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? Our gospel reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration which Cornelius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby laying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated for our sermon hymn 357.
Grandson, gather the divine.
O come, thou dayspring from on high, and cheer us by thy drawing nigh. How fitting that every year Jesus' birth is celebrated with a festival of lights. For as Jesus says concerning himself, I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so again, it's so fitting that we celebrate his birthday with lights and candles, with Christmas trees, with lights upon our houses and candles in our windows. Jesus has come, dear friends, and he is the morning light, dawning into a world of darkness. Although it's archaic language, that's exactly what our hymn means when it calls Jesus the dayspring from on high. The phrase it just comes from the King James Bible, where it says that the dayspring from on high hath visited us. Meaning that Jesus is the heavenly sunrise, if you will, who has dawned now upon us. He is the divine daybreak. The idea comes from the prophet Malachi, who says that the sun of righteousness shall rise upon you with healing in its wings. And speaking about Jesus then, Malachi foresees the coming of the Lord and calls him a sunrise of righteousness, a sunrise of healing, of joy, of truth and beauty. What greater gift could we ever ask for? And yet, what lesser of a gift could we have ever expected from the Father of lights, who is full of love and mercy? How fitting is this gift of life, dear friends, when we see that it is from the Father of lights who gave it. And when we see how it meets such a practical need for humanity. For as Matthew sets the scene for us, he sets the scene at Jesus' birth, saying that those dwelling in darkness, they have seen a great light. Those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Probably one of the biggest dichotomies in the Bible is this juxtaposition between light and darkness. For we see that they're constantly being pinned up against each other. Way back in Genesis 1, the world began in pitch black universe. And the lightless earth, it was first described then as a chaotic place. The earth was formless and void, we're told, for darkness covered over the face of the deep. And ever since then, darkness has now become synonymous with all forms of chaos and disorder. Darkness was over the face of the deep, the chaos abounded until God spoke light into being. Simply saying, let there be light, and the light shined into the darkness. And with his word, God separated the light from the darkness, and he began to bring order to the chaos, life to the void, and joy to the universe. And ever since then, throughout the whole rest of the Bible, the idea of darkness, it has now taken on a whole host of meanings. It has become a metaphor for so many different ailments and dangers that we face. As mentioned right off the bat, we see it linked to disorder. But further on then, we see that it eventually becomes synonymous with sorrow as well. As the downcast soul is often said to be in a state of gloom and darkness. But even more than that, darkness has become a metaphor for ignorance as well. For the one who's blind to the truth, we say, lives in the dark. But even on top of those things, darkness has come to even summarize the entire kingdom of Satan. He is the prince of darkness, we call him. And his reign is sin. And his entire kingdom is one of destruction, of deception and sorrow, making it then a threefold kingdom of darkness. When Matthew sets the stage for Jesus' dawning, describing humanity as a people dwelling in darkness, this is what he had in mind. For he saw the mass of humanity as if a people living under the reign and influence of sin and the devil. Matthew saw a people who were ignorant of the truth, blind to the light of the gospel. And no doubt he imagined a people whose lives were disordered and primed for death and destruction. For spiritually speaking, we are born in darkness. This darkness has already wreaked havoc upon fallen man, to the point in which the Bible just goes ahead and calls the natural man spiritually dead. For as John says, he who believes not in the Son is condemned already. They who believe not, who live as in the dark, are walking around already condemned, Paul says, dead in their trespasses and sins. It's such a scary picture which Matthew paints for us, saying that not only was the unbelieving world sitting in darkness, but that they sat in the shadow of death. What could Matthew have meant by that, except that death was very near and definite? For those who are in the shadow of a thing must be very near to the thing itself. And those dwelling in death's shadows then live while the mouth of death is closing upon them, soon to be closed upon them forever. This is how Matthew describes the state of the entire world before Jesus came. For without the light of Christ bringing righteousness, life, joy, healing, and the gospel, the whole race of people would go down to destruction. But it's at Christmas, dear friends, when we see the Word of God again dispelling the darkness, just as it did in creation. Except this time, however, it's not the spoken word that cuts through the night, but it is the word made flesh that brings the light. When Jesus came onto the scene of human history, he fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy, which says that those dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. Jesus is the dawning of a heavenly sunrise which dispels all the gloom where it shines. It destroys all of the works of Satan, bringing life in its rays. And I just love this whole idea of equating Jesus to sunlight. You think of all of the blessings that sunlight brings, and we can easily see why Jesus would have earned such a title as the Son of Righteousness. When you think of the sun in general and the beautiful blessings that it bestows upon us, then you begin to see what a perfect metaphor that is to Jesus, who is the spiritual light of the world. For not only is the sun often seen as a steadfast and enduring thing, a great metaphor for Jesus, for he himself is the eternal one. He himself is always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Not only do we see connections there, but more importantly, we see connections in the blessings that the sun gives to the world. For example, it's well understood that the physical sun is the source of all life to the world. Either directly or indirectly, all life is dependent upon the sun's light to give it life, to give it energy and food that it needs. Whether you eat your vegetables or not, there would be no food at all, no life at all, if the sun never shined. For all energy on earth must eventually trace itself back to the sun. What a beautiful metaphor that is to Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, the light of the world, who himself is the source of all spiritual life, and who brings everlasting life through the dawning of his person into the world. There is no life apart from him who gave himself upon a cross for us. There is no life without Jesus who overcame death for us, who makes it now possible for the saints to sing, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" For the light of God has vanquished this darkness, and he has rescued his people out of the shadow of death. But beyond just bringing life, though, we know the sun also that it brings joy. How many people on a rainy day like this just feel its gloom? It's no coincidence that 43% of adults in Alaska say that they struggle with depressive and anxious thoughts. For literally, we know that in the winter, the sun doesn't rise more than 5 degrees off the horizon. The sun rises at 10 and sets at 3:30, never rising an inch above the horizon. And this absence of sunlight breeds gloom. But where light shines, there do people experience joy. They simply feel better as the sun's rays shine upon them. Of course, this is a metaphor for Jesus. He's the light of the world, for his presence also brings joy. The angels are always standing before God's throne, just basking in the light of his love. They never have gotten tired or sad or bored, for they are forever content, never wishing to leave his side, for the light of his countenance is bringing them joy unspeakable. And when Jesus came to the earth, we see how he just left a wake of joy behind him. And we see how those who truly saw the light of Christ, how they would willingly give up everything to follow him. For the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus and him crucified, how many thousands, if not millions of people, have willingly given their lives than forsaking this truth and this joy? Truly, Jesus is the bringer of joy. For after searching everywhere else, Solomon concluded that Jesus, everything but Jesus, was vanity, and that he alone could be the light and joy of the world. Dear friends, I could go on and on about the benefits of light and how Jesus is the spiritual fulfillment of it all. I could go over how sunlight also brings healing, how light kills bacteria and infections, and compare that to how Jesus brings spiritual health and well-being. Or I could go over how light regulates your awake-sleep routine, and how the sun fosters energy and keeps you awake as long as it's shining. And again, just as Jesus does when Paul argues, saying, "Do not sleep, for you are children of the day. You are children of the light. Rise, shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." I could go over so many more benefits of sunlight and explain how Jesus is the fulfillment of them all. as if God had made the sun to just be a great metaphor for Jesus Christ himself, knowing truly that the heavens truly do declare the glory of God. But for the sake of time, let me just go over one more benefit. For we know that sunlight reveals knowledge and beauty as well. In the dark, we don't know what is before us. There very well can be beautiful flowers outside your bedroom window, but if it is dark outside, without the light, there is no way to see their beauty. There may be treasures hidden in a field, but if there's no sunlight to look for it, such is not the time to go out, for we would never find it. But with the dawning of the morning sun, the light reveals all knowledge and beauty. And of course, dear friends, such is exactly what Jesus has done for you. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He has shown to us the Father's heart. He has shined in the darkness, showing us the love which the Father has towards you, revealing his desire to save you. I do not desire the death of the wicked, he says, but that all would come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus shines light and brings knowledge of the way of salvation. He shines his light and says, "Walk in this way. Follow after me, and you will find forgiveness for your sins. You will find rest for your souls and life everlasting." Jesus has come, dear friends, shining light and life into the world. He was born as God's gift to you, to save you from all manners of darkness and sorrow. For he is the dayspring from on high, and he longs to bring all of these beautiful benefits to you. So let that be upon our lips, saying and praying again, "Come, thou dayspring from on high, and cheer us by thy drawing nigh." Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we sing our next hymn, number 388. Would you please stand and join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise this morning as we remember your many blessings given to us. We ask for your grace to open our eyes to see and to recognize how all things come from you. Teach us to trace all our blessings back to your sovereign good hand as we praise you this morning for all of our daily gifts of body and soul. We thank you for food, drink, family, friends, house, and home. And this morning we thank you most especially for your greatest gift, when you sent your Son to the world to be our Savior. Lead us in thanksgiving to praise you for your glorious grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And mighty God, you are full of compassion. You are the God of peace, and you are the Lord of the living. And you have mercifully looked upon the world as you sent your heart out to us, and as you continue to do so every day. We ask that you would so move us to confess Jesus as both Lord and Savior, and lead us likewise to rely upon him for the salvation of our souls. With all boldness, lead us to confess our sins to you, knowing that you care for us. Lead us to rely our entire selves, body and soul, upon your mercy, knowing that you have never turned back a sinner who calls upon you for grace. As we come before you, just as we are, we ask that you would shape us into your likeness. Give us your Spirit that we may live according to everything that is true, beautiful, and good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Savior of the world, you have come so that we may have life and light. As you have made yourself known and taken upon yourself the metaphor of light to describe your many benefits and blessings, lead us then to bask in the light of you and of your word. And lead us also in sharing your light and gifts with those around us. As you shine upon us, Lord, lead us to reflect this very same light to those around us. As you are the light come into the world, so lead us also to follow in your footsteps, and to ourselves, as Jesus says, to be the light of the world, shining your very own light and love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And great physician, as seems good to you, we ask that you would bring life, health, and healing to your creation. From you comes all life, joy, knowledge, peace, and righteousness. You bring healing of body, soul, and spirit, and you are the Prince of Peace. And so we ask that you would bring relief to all the saints who are struggling with the woes and cares of this world. Those suffering from the consequences of sin, we ask that you would bring them your Spirit to comfort them. Shine your mercies upon them and give to all who are suffering your blessed presence. Remind each of us that you are Emmanuel, God with us, granting always your peace which surpasses understanding. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. At this time, we continue with the service of the sacrament. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is meet and right so to do. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, for what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. You may be seated. Would you please stand? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many benefits that you have shown towards us in giving us your only begotten Son. Truly, you make us glad with the yearly remembrance of the birth of your only Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that as we joyfully receive him as our Redeemer, and by faith, we ask that you would lead us to hold fast to him as the light of the world, as the giver of all life, joy, and blessing. Give us the hope of the joy of hope that when he comes again, we will live in perpetual light of your glory. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Would you receive the blessing of our Lord? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for departing hymn 387.